It's 7 o'clock, Doug. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this second hour...
Still 7 o'clock, Doug.
Yeah, but in this second hour, we're going to have a couple of things. You're going to talk a little bit about another university. Was it a university?
Western University. Western a university?
Yeah. In the London area. So, or was it just in somebody in Western Ontario?
No.
Okay. But also coming up in this hour, I had a chance to go and visit Ralph Boston for our the last of our conversations about a paper that he wrote about the Mississauga people in this area, but also where maybe have they come from over the years. And so how did they get here? And, you know, they're here now still. And Ralph Boston is going to be our guest today. And we're going to, but I had to go to his, where he lives and his home now. And Ralph was, well, he's got a kitchen that's nearby and it rattles and people are going up and down the hallways and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's really interesting to try and record there, but I'm hoping that you can
fine, Doug.
Yeah. I really enjoyed spending my time going to visit Ralph and chatting with him on Mondays. And, it was good. All right. Now, you're going to tell me a little bit about...
About what? What am I telling you about now?
We were going to talk about the fellow who passed away.
Oh, this guy.
Yes.
Dan Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Smoke, elder and co-host of a longest-running Indigenous radio program, they said dies. I'm going to say passes on.
Okay.
Just seems so final that way.
Mm-hmm.
The man has spent his life bringing Indigenous stories and teaching to the forefront through radio broadcasts, and the written word has passed on today. In London, Ontario. Dan Smoke is a member of the Seneca Nation of the Iroquois Confederacy and was a teacher, activist, writer, and co-host alongside his wife of Canada's longest-running Indigenous campus radio program.
Mm-hmm.
It is with great sadness that I have to share that the love of my life, Dr. Dan Smoke, has gone into the spirit world due to complications from diabetes and pneumonia, wrote Mary Lou Smoke. Dan was committed his life to helping all people. We will miss him dearly.
Did it say where they did the radio program?
Dan and Mary Lou received honorary doctorates of law from Western University for their work and taught at the University of Brescia University College.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Wait, here's the radio station. Dan and Mary also became well known for actively supporting reconciliation, bridging divide between Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities. For three decades, they brought Indigenous voices to the radio airwaves on their program, Smoke Signals, on CHRW Radio Western 94.9 FM.
There you go. So you're giving out all kinds of call.
All kinds of
call letters for radio stations.
Yeah, obituaries.
You're a wealth of information today.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we've lost a fellow,
uh-huh.
a colleague. Can we call him a colleague?
You could. Well, we didn't work that closely with them, but certainly we...
Well, we're in kind of the same atmosphere.
When did he start? 1991?
1991.
Okay, and we started in 1994.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So we're the second oldest.
Yeah, you're the oldest now.
No, we're the second oldest. I don't want to take anything away from Dan.
No.
I'll just stop now.
Well, anyway, that's kind of exciting because they actually brought they're from the Seneca community.
I don't want to take anything away from Dan and Mary Lou Smoke in their time of loss.
Mm-hmm.
But Western University did give them an honorary doctorate. Maybe if the folks listening, like the big time people, the people that can do this sort of thing here at Queens, maybe they have an idea that passes in their mind that maybe we could get one of those too. Not from there, but from here.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be cool for you.
It'd be cool for both of us.
I guess. It would be exciting for me to watch you get that.
Be exciting for me to that you'd be up there beside me.
I know. We were on stage once. Side by side. You remember that?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
I think
we
about
should
it.
Go and get
I
that.
I think about it every time I pass that theater.
Oh, is that right?
My gosh, it was right over there.
Yeah.
That wasn't a good time.
Well, it was interesting.
It wasn't good.
First time on stage for me, standing there looking out, and all you see is just bright lights. You don't see anybody out there.
You see
silhouettes. It's better doing radio because we can't see anybody, but that's okay.
There was silhouettes, and those silhouettes, they have eyes, and it was a bit uncomfortable.
Okay.
Now, well, we did
speaking
it.
Of that, you went to a play last week.
I did go
what
to a play.
Was it?
Wendy and I.
Thursday night.
Thursday, Halloween. Yeah. Halloween night, we took off on the trick-or-treaters. And we went to the Domino Theater here in Kingston, and we went to see Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it wasn't. See, I thought it was the Little House of Horrors or something that you were going to.
You thought that.
I don't know what
don't feed the plant is what you
that,
said. You texted me. Don't feed
Audrey.
Isn't
that what it is? Little House of Horrors that had this plant at. That would eat everybody that came in?
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
There you go. See, that's what I thought.
That would have been nice, too, because there'd have been singing.
Oh, I see.
There would have been singing in that. I would like to go to a musical, a live musical like that. And but this was not a live musical. This was, drama.
Ooh. Okay.
I would not even say that it was horror.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it was pure drama.
Okay.
What are you looking at?
No, your screen.
Oh, that it was pure drama.
Okay.
It was a good time. Now, there was a cast of characters, and they did their stuff. They went out there. They acted. They're quite good, and I enjoyed it. But the guy who played Jekyll, and then Hyde, because like Dr. Jekyll, he was the good guy.
Okay,
he was the good half of this fellow, and then Mr. Hyde was.
So was it the same person playing?
It was the same guy.
Oh, wow,
it was the same guy, and he would transform here and there, and even there was moments in the show. Where his voice would start to growl.
Oh, okay.
Here and there, it was an audible growl. At least I could hear it. Maybe I was imagining it. But He did a great job. I'm sorry, I don't remember the actor's name, but I'm sure they're doing that right now, right? I think it's until the end of this week.
Oh, keeps going. Like that. Oh, good.
And so he was going. He contorted himself when it was time to become Mr. Hyde. And when everybody got done and it was like the clap, you're all brilliant. We stood up and then the Jekyll Hyde guy comes out and he looks at the cast and he smiles and then they do the bow.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I think one may have curtsied, but the bow. And then they, Happy Halloween.
Oh, is that right?
They yelled that out at us. Wow. Or said it.
Nice.
And so that was fun.
Did they do it twice so that Dr. Jekyll got to come out once? And
No, that would have been interesting.
And then Hyde would come out?
Yeah. No, they're the same guy.
I know.
The same, like.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, here's one for you. I want you to take the high road. And this is a song that Nelson Little wrote, and he wrote it for his grade 9 son a few years ago. But here we go. You ready? Take the high road.
Holding my head up, putting the guns down. I'm holding my head up, holding it high. I'm keeping my back up. Keeping my back up against the wall. I'm holding my head up so I don't fall. No, it ain't too late. We ain't too far gone. Cause there's more love than hate. And there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. Taking the high road, putting the fight down. Taking the high road out of town. Taking my mind off, taking my mind off the fighting side. Walking away, walking the line. No, it ain't too late, we ain't too far gone. Cause there's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. There's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. And let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed.
rule. Valleys through hills, you can hear them cry. They have to fight to stay alive. No one can change it. Mother Nature knows the reason why.
CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, you also earn a ticket for one of our weekly raffle draws featuring prizes from local businesses including Old Farm Fine Foods, The Screening Room, Smokes Poutinerie, Studio 330, Tango Nuevo, Terra Natural Foods, The Toucan, The Wit, and YGK Thrift. Enjoy the benefits of donating. Give today via CFRC.ca.
To you, $16 might be inconsequential, hardly covers parking or a few cappuccinos. But put $16 in the hands of Feed Ontario, with their bulk buying power for over 1,200 food banks and hunger relief organizations, and that $16 can provide breakfast for a hungry child every morning for a month. Please, give now at feedontariotogether.ca for the big change your pocket change can make.
Join us here on CFRC on November 11th for an afternoon and early evening in honor of Sheila Rogers, Queen's University's 16th Chancellor. Listen to the convocation ceremony in Grant Hall that will include her official installation as Chancellor starting at 2:30 p.m. and then join in the fun wherever you are in the world for the Chancellor's installation reception, broadcasting live from the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts from 5:30 to 7 p.m., featuring outstanding Chancellor-curated music and engaging speakers such as the Principal of Queen's, the Rector, and the Chancellor herself. We look forward to celebrating with you on November 11th. Learn more on the Queen's Chancellor installation webpage.
This is our life.
Habitat for Humanity is an organization that recruits volunteers to help families in need build affordable housing and provides an amazing opportunity for students to give back. This year, we are working on several virtual fundraisers to continue making an impact safely and remotely. You can get involved with our club by finding us on Facebook at QUHFH in the Queens community, or email us directly at habitatforhumanity@clubs.queensu.ca. We can't wait to meet you guys.
Tanya Dahaskigo, the Nanzewa Dahusa Dadje, Ungahuan, and Hadiwa Nodus, Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oska Dewa Nyawar Oska, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
Please put my spear away.
Now, I
can't fight anymore. The people that were once with me, they don't want me anymore.
Even now my grandchildren, the two have changed. Yet I ask why. Why, O Spirit? Why? Even now the seals are nearly gone. My brother the wolf, they don't howl anymore. The white bear, the two will soon fade. And now my people have turned to a different road.
Why?
Myself, I'm old. I can't hunt anymore. My eyes can hardly see. My heart is weak. I'm not strong anymore. Yet I fight for the old days to come. Yet I ask, why, O Spirit?
Why?
Myself, I'm old. I can dream only of the younger days. When life was beautiful. And happiness was in me. I shed tears for my forefathers. My children and for you. Cause no matter what happens, I'll fight for you. So when the day comes, I may leave this world without change.
Willie Thrasher, and that song was called Old Man Inuit. And so you notice that Willie Thrasher was singing in English or translating from the Inuit. And that's leading us into our conversation that we're going to have with Ralph. Ralph wrote a paper about the history of the Mississauga in the Kingston area, well, actually north of Kingston as well as Kingston area. And then Ralph and I were able to sit down at his home, and at his home where he has a kitchen nearby, and the kitchen noises and the people talking were, you know, kind of interfering at times with our conversation. But, you know, we hope that you understand that that's what we have there, the problems with having set up in a setting like that. Anyway, but I really enjoyed the conversation with Ralph, and he's going to talk a bit about, you know, where people came from over the years, not just in the last 100 years or 400 years or 500 years. He's going to take us a lot further back than that. So I'm going to have fun with this. I really appreciate Ralph Boston for all the time that he's taken to give Aboriginal Voices this information, and I just want to let you know that people have been talking to me about Ralph's contributions and asking questions, and it's guiding me to do some more work. Sean and I have actually done some work on this as Ralph was talking about it about 2 weeks ago, and so we've got more coming. And yes, Ralph, we're going to talk a bit about treaties, but we're not in this conversation now. We'll do that after January. So we're all set. I think, Sean, we're going to be able to go. I see we've got everything ready for Ralph, so we're going to do that right right now.
I'm going to welcome Ralph Boston back to Aboriginal Voices today. Ralph, it's been a pleasure working on this series with you.
Thank you. I agree.
it's brought more questions and more research for me since we've chatted each week and brought issues in about Indigenous people in the Kingston area. Mm-hmm. But in your paper, you're going to talk a little bit more about people around the world. And I wanted to ask you about this paper. You published it in 2024, and it's when we're doing this conversation. But how long has it taken to get started on the project, and how long has it taken you to do it?
Well, when I sat around a table with people in the Queen's University Biological Station property and were talking about their concern that they had found native artifacts on their property, but they'd never found any evidence of the people being there. So the question is, why and where were they? And we kicked that around for a little while, and all of a sudden I volunteered to say, well, that sounds like a good topic for me to explore. Maybe you'd finance, and if not, I'll go ahead and do it anyway.
Okay.
And I did. So I started 5 years ago, and it's been a progression ever since. What's really surprised us, and this is our finding, is that although we went back in time through the various periods of inhabitation of various people, oh damn, I took that away. What I found interesting in my study was that the Mississauga people go back thousands of years. And I mentioned this in our last meeting, that going back 11,500, there were some of the people, indigenous people, related to the Mississauga. And through that period, 7,000, 5,000, 1,600, 1,700, 1,800, until 1945, that's when the whole thing petered out. Mm. So what was really going on? What I think was happening is the history of migration of people. And so we were looking at how the migration had hit the Queen's Biological Station property, but that was about the end of the expansion era. And we didn't know that at the time, but that's why the people which I found in the area north and west of the Queen's property were nomadic. They were the last remains of the people who had been forced out by growth from the various other areas all along Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, until they came up against the Ottawa River. So all the other places go back, as far as I mentioned before, but by the time that they got to the Kingston area, all of them had found that they could not live off the land as they originally had done, and they had to adopt the European lifestyle, the farming, or getting jobs in business and industry in the towns. So that I found was very interesting. But it meant that my study would have ended right there. But instead, I got interested in, well, where on earth did the Mississauga people really come from that got to the Queen's property? Well, that took me all along the North Shore of Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, and then it sort of disappeared. So I kept digging and I kept digging, and I found that we had to go back right to the very beginnings of what was going on in the world many years ago. about 10,000 years or more ago. That's when the great ice caps were on the top of North America. So where did the people come from that were on the other side of the ice cap? Because that's the group that came through to where we were interested. That's where I started. Whereabouts did the indigenous lifestyle start? And I found a map that showed me that going back to the earliest people, probably in the million years ago, humans first popped up. Now, they weren't quite as advanced as what we knew in the Mississauga people, but they were the people who did start from Africa, southern Africa, and they probably came from the Antarctic into South Africa and then moved northwards. And that group expanded into southern Europe. And a group of them moved westward, and that's how they got to England and the European countries. But another bunch of them, later on, moved to the east. And that's the group we're really interested in, because they came up from the tip of Africa to the Horn of Africa, if you will, that extends closer to Europe, or Eastern Europe and China. And they moved through there, and some of them came farther north, all the way up across Asia and across the...
So that's the Bering Strait area that, you're talking about, so from Asia to North America?
Asia to North America. But at that time, there was no water between it, because the Ice Age had sunk the area, and the water had moved away, the land had risen, and people could move, and so could animals. And so about 25,000 years ago, people crossed from Asia into Alaska area and into North America. Now, at the same time, there was another movement which came southwards along the bottom of Europe down into Australia. So what we don't know, and what hasn't been indicated so far in anything I found, is that there were people living in Antarctica who, because the ice age was less pronounced there, they were already on dry land, so they came across into Australia. Now, most of the maps that I'd looked at hadn't shown that migration, but if they got to Australia, I believe they also came up into Asia, and then from Asia north. So we've got two conflicting theories as to where the people came from that crossed into America. Did they come from Africa, or did they come from Australia and up that route? But the original people were probably in Antarctica. So one of the things that I looked at was we know that the Mississauga were identified as having dark skin. So if we look at where the dark-skinned people originated, Africa, Australia, and their route then came from south to north and across the land bridge. Or maybe it came southward into Australia or out of the east coast of Asia and crossed the water and hit America. And so that means that some of the people from this area on the south side of Europe, Africa, Asia, came across the water, probably to South America. Now, that has not been identified in a couple of the papers I came across, but it seems to be logical. And I also found that people from South America migrated northward into the U.S., which again supports my theory that people crossed into South America about the same time it was happening, maybe a little sooner in South America than in North America from across the land bridge at Alaska. Now, that means that if I look at where the migration came from the north, it's very obvious that they came down through the central east or central west part of Canada. But I'm conflicted because did they come through the southern part or did they come down from the north? So if I think of the dark-skinned people, I think they were in Asia and probably came across a northern route on the north side of Canada and Alaska. On the other hand, if the other fairer-skinned people came across and came down closer to the Rocky Mountains on the east side of those mountains.
So, Ralph, we're just talking about the Ice Age 10,000 years ago and probably 22,000 years ago in that range. And the one 22,000 years ago blocked the what is now the Yukon in Canada. But that's a corridor between the coastal mountains and the Rocky Mountains in British Columbia.
Well, one of the things I picked up in my study was that there were three ice ages. There wasn't just one. There had been three. Three times that the ice had come from the northern regions of Canada and Europe and moved southward and then retreated. Mm. And that went back more than the 10,000 years ago that I put my finger on for the movement most recent.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean there were not land bridges across Alaska or from other parts of Canada, like eastern Canada, two more times previously. So where did the Mississauga really come from? Well, I've pinned it down to that third ice age about 10,000 years ago. And if that's the case, what's intriguing to me is that the ice age started up about the mouth of the Mackenzie River, swung down on a curve to the Great Lakes area. And then it went northwards down the St. Lawrence Valley. Now, that means that the most likely access route for the native people from Asia to come across would have been a northern route along the bridge across to Alaska, or maybe along the water's edge of the continent and down the ice cap and follow the curve through the Great Lakes, or to the Great Lakes area. Now, that would mean that the easiest route at that early stage, 10,000 years ago, was for a water traffic across the land bridge area, or they may have gone by foot across and even established camps there, but still may have taken a water route around the hump of Alaska, down the Mackenzie River, follow the curve of the ice, right down to the Great Lakes. And we know between Lake Huron and Lake Michigan that there was a land bridge. And it has been only recently identified by American archaeologists. So that I think that may have been the route that some of the early Mississauga people followed, and that would have brought them along the waterway to the south shore of Lake Ontario, and also back to Lake Erie, and upwards along the Huron area. And that's where I think the Huron people may have come through on a different route. And they may have come down similarly, but crossed beforehand and gone through a northern access where the ice cap was over the top area of Lake Superior. And the Hurons came along that waterway and down towards where they met the Mississauga. And because the Mississauga were peaceful people and didn't like wars, and I think the Hurons were perhaps fewer in number or whatnot, but the two nations collaborated rather than fought one another. And that, I think, was one of the rather important findings that I came across. So that that would be the case. I think also that what was going on was that the Iroquois may have come down a land route on the east side of the Rockies hunting big game and come down and gradually found the U.S. prairies, if you will, the grain growing area, the flat country in there, and it was a lot easier to travel in, and that's where some of the big game was very abundant, bison for instance. And so they would very easily have come across the northern part of the United States. And this is where, as the Mississaugas were coming down, the Iroquois were coming up, they probably had conflict and they were few in numbers, so they didn't do a great deal of damage, but they settled their territory, as pure theory, along that arc of the ice cover. And so I think the Iroquois came up, down south and up, met the Huron that had come down the Mississauga earlier, and they fought each other to a standstill about Lake Superior's eastern end. So it's a question then of whether the southern route was the route that the Mississauga took, or did they follow the northern one and precede the Huron down that route here. So that was one of the really rather interesting conundrums.
Now, to add to that, the direction you're taking is that the Rocky Mountains do pose a problem for all peoples to get across.
That's right.
And But there is, I think, near Idaho, today's yes. Idaho, but the Missouri River.
They which?
It, the Missouri River studs yes. in the mountains.
And this is where you have to go back to my previous map. Right. It shows the migration of the various people. Most of it shows coming from the north down into Canada,
and
the
Mexico.
U.S., and South America.
Right.
I think that's incomplete because if there were people coming up out of the Antarctic into Africa, Australia, why not closer to South America?
Right.
So I think what's been missing in one of the major studies that people have been referring to is they've neglected the fact that the people that came up from Antarctica through South America across the Panama Canal area ran into the people migrating southward. I think the Iroquois followed that route, but I can't prove it and I haven't tried to.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm looking at the crossing from the west coast of North America. They could cross in across the mountains, and then they have the Missouri River system
right.
that flows into the Mississippi River.
And that would take
and the
them
Mississippi
across
north and south.
But that would mean that the Iroquois came to a natural watershed.
Right.
I think they also came up along the mountain area where the on the east side where the big game was located.
Right on the edge of the prairies.
But when they ran into this other force of people coming down, rather than fight, they moved both lots eastward.
Right.
But I think that's why we find the Iroquois south of the Mississauga Territory and south of Lake Ontario and Lake Erie, and the Mississauga on the north of that.
Right.
And it wasn't until you got over to the fur trade area north of Kingston that the Iroquois became a factor again. But by that time, they had crossed and gone down the St. Lawrence River and were on the south side of the St. Lawrence, and the Mississauga were coming along the entry to the St. Lawrence River. And as a result, they were able to get partly into Iroquois territory, but that's when they decided, you know, let's quit fighting and do the fur trade, and the Ottawa River became the boundary between the Iroquois and the Mississauga. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I found on the global scale going back 10,000 years or more.
That's a fascinating study, isn't it, when you start looking into the movement of people.
That's right. Yeah. And one of the other things that has happened that gives me, I think, credence to my belief of the crossing the Mississauga made on the south side was that there is a land bridge across the southern end of Lake Huron.
Mm-hmm.
And that would take them across Lake Huron and up along the ice edge into Lake Ontario. And that's where I think the Mississauga came down and then up. But
yeah, maybe we could check into the genomes study that the National Geographic has been running for a number of years.
I've tried to look at that, and that's where I say, I think I'm on the trail of something.
Yes.
And similarly, it has also been said about the Mississauga that they were peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to be reading the history of Queenston Heights.
Oh, General Brock.
General Brock. It is said that General Brock was anxious to defeat the American effort to invade Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And At one point, he came into the north at Lake Superior and took over an American fortification. The Americans were thoroughly peeled with this and said that they will counterattack and come up from the south and drive the British out. The British said, "You're not going to cross into Canada," and started to move down, and that's where the Battle of Queenston Heights came. The interesting thing was that when Brock moved his forces down from the north to Queenston, he asked for help from the native people, because he had so few British people that the native people were his source of soldiers, fighting people. And the Lake Huron people, the Huron natives, had supported him in the capture of the fort at at the eastern end of Lake Superior. Mm-hmm. And they marched down on Queenston. General Brock brought people, soldiers, from the Toronto area along Lake Ontario to come down into Queenston. He invited the Hurons to continue down and carry on and join his forces at Queenston. But it's also interesting to me that along the north shore of Lake Ontario and Lake Erie were Mississauga. Mm-hmm. The Mississauga were peaceful people. They did not join General Brock. Mm. They would not fight because their property wasn't being affected. The Huron, on the other hand, were as bloodthirsty as the Iroquois, and they quite happily went on because there was spoilage to be, prizes to be won in battle. So I use that as my evidence that the Mississauga were a peaceful nation. So where did the peaceful characteristic come from in the bloodstream? Mm. And nobody's looked about where are the peaceful people in Asia? Question mark. Yeah. That was one of the other, you know, areas of interest that I'd like to see. The largest concentration of the Mississauga was in the area along the north shore of Lake Ontario in the Bay of Quinte area. And that's where the gatherings of the Mississauga, and I think it helped us really pinpoint where the Mississauga really came from. Mm-hmm. So I think that's about where I conclude what I've found and where I'd like to go.
Ralph Boston, I really appreciate you taking the time to write this paper, and then also all the time you spent with me. This is a regular routine that we've had for a month, so yeah, it's been really a lot of things for me to see and hear, and for our listeners to think about and to go and research, and you've given them all kinds of things to research now.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I've enjoyed myself. And thank you for showing the interest in my paper and my findings.
Ralph Boston, thank you, and we'll talk with you again.
Okay.
Straight and narrow, broken arrows, walking down the sweet grass road.
That is Walk With Me from Adrian Sutherland, who received a Juno nomination earlier this year after releasing his debut solo album. And this song actually moved an entire classroom, because you heard from an elementary school teacher in Ontario who reached out after his students were inspired by this song.
One day as I was driving into work, I heard this song, Walk With Me by Adrian Sutherland, and it just struck me. It was a beautiful song, and shared it with some of the students to see what they thought about the song and what it meant to them. And we looked at the lyrics and we started learning about that. And we thought maybe we should reach out to Adrian Sutherland, the artist, and his management team. And so we did that and we asked for permission to make a little video for his song. And they wrote back to us and said, we love the idea. Would it be okay if we went a little bit bigger? And they asked if we might be interested in participating with them to make the official video for the song. So we said yes right away, and since then, for the next few months, that's what we've been working on now. The project for us has been about creating awareness. We are creating awareness for Canada's history, awareness about the residential school system and Indigenous people, and also it's a journey towards reconciliation and a journey towards community.
When we first heard about it, we were excited and wanted to support them in every way possible to make that happen. So I was just about in tears when I first saw that video, and it's just really powerful and heart-touching video that they put together. For me, it's always been about the music. It's always been about healing spirits or trying to create awareness and understanding about some of the issues we face as Indigenous people in this country.
I am so excited to be here with all of you, and I want to thank you for coming to this assembly. Because of your passion, it led to almost a year-long project where we were working on a video called Walk With Me. Who remembers, just with your hands, that video, Walk With Me? So I want to extend to you a huge thank you for your perseverance in making this project come together. I also want to tell you how very proud I am of you, of each one of you. So please help me welcome the person who wrote and sang that song, Indigenous singer and songwriter, Adrian Sutherland.
First of all, I just want to say hi. And I'm really excited to be here today. I wanted to come sooner, but I couldn't. But this is the first chance for me to be able to come and visit and just say hello. And thank you again for that wonderful project that you guys brought to life. It absolutely, it touched my heart, and it continues to touch my heart. And it's done the same thing for so many others that I know.
Walk with me. If I follow your steps, will I see? Why didn't you go that strange skin?
If you have me, what are your fears?
I'll use one example. Navigating some of the rivers at home are pretty scary. I had trouble just shooting big rapids on my own. It was kind of a fear, you know? And I think for me, it's like fear can sometimes control us, and it's important for us to see what we're capable of doing, you know? And sometimes we have to find ways to overcome those fears, because if we don't, we don't learn what we're capable of doing, and we don't build courage. I have fear of me being rejected too, you know? Because it's some of the traumas I've been through as a kid, you know, and I went to Indian Day School. I suffered, you know, abuse there, and so I went through a lot of rejection, so I think that's where that comes from. So I have that fear of being rejected, or my music being rejected, or being rejected as an artist or something, so. For me, I think I know, like, a lot of the hope lies within our young people and our youth, and to be coming from a different perspective and maybe a different culture. And I know I've been trying to speak about it, sing about it, write about it for so long, but then to have a group of non-Indigenous kids, you know, get behind it, it's like, whoa, that's something else.
Hi, I'm Alan Cross. You may know me as the guy who does the ongoing history of new music. You're listening to CFRC 101.9.